Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
I was going down 595, minding my business on an off day. And here comes, and I look over and I say, damn, that's Mike with the top down. I was like, oh shit, that's Zach and Izzo with 40 ounces. Number one. Of course, I was like, oh shit, they partying. So Zach and Izzo, they had a look on their face like, oh, it's cool, but now he's going to kill us tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group, Seth Levitt, and the toughest podcaster Dan Marino ever played with, OJ McDuffie. Juice, how you feeling today, man?
You know, I'm always feeling good, man. We jump on my side of the ball, Big Seth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, in a tough mofo on top of that, bro. That always lights me up a little bit, man. So it's going to be another fun one for us as we usually get into it.
So wait a minute. If he is tough and you're the toughest podcaster Dan Marino ever played with, if he has a podcast, do we have to have a challenge? Do we have to determine this? Like,
yeah, I don't
enter into the octagon type thing.
Yeah, I don't mess with fullbacks, man.
You don't want
I don't
mess with fullbacks. He doesn't want that smoke.
Yeah, well, I don't want that smoke at all.
What
man.
Better way to introduce our longtime friend? It's been a long ass time, even though he's been texting us. We've been texting back and forth, sending pictures. Robert Bull Wilson. Bull, welcome to the Fish Tank, man.
Hey, man. Glad to be here. Glad to finally be on with you guys. Talked to you, both of y'all at the reunion a couple of years ago when Timbo went into the Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Yeah. So you guys said it wasn't your doing, so I didn't bring my boys with me.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. Yeah. We had our hands full with you. We certainly didn't need to mess with your boys, right. But we told you in due time, right? In due time.
That's right. That's right.
It's not there how you start, Bull, is how you finish.
There you go. There you go.
You know, we just heard Big Seth refer to you as Bull, man. And I imagine that won't be the last time we'll say this on, you know, your nickname today while we do this interview, man. So So let's kick things off right there by getting to the bottom of this. Where did the name Bull come from?
Man, so when I was a freshman at Texas A&M, I was blocking for Dan Lewis, and his nickname was Tank. So I'm hanging around the dorm, and Rod Harris, who was one of our senior receivers, he looked at me. He was like, "Damn, we got a guy named Tank already. We're gonna have to call you Bull." And man, it stuck. It stuck that since that day.
Wow,
I've been Bull.
I wonder if he takes pride in giving a nickname that's hung around, Juice.
Right, right. That's important in life, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big Seth, come on now. Where you get Big Seth from, Big Seth?
Clearly it was you, because ain't nobody else called me that ever in life. But it's been you. And now I'll walk in and we'll meet a Dolphins fan somewhere, anywhere, Canton, Ohio, whatever. They're like, "Big Seth." And I'm like, "Hey, I'll rock it. Let's go. Let's go." Big Seth, Bull, and Juice. That's it. Nobody has a damn real name up in here.
Yeah, that's right.
Too good. So, look, I told you I reached out to Zach Thomas before this, and I told him that you were going to join us. Mm-hmm. And I promised him this, whether he wanted it or not, this was going to be my leadoff question for you.
Okay.
There is an all-time great story about Zach and Izzo riding shirtless in the back of Mike Westhoff's convertible. And the legend has it that you were the one that spotted him on the road and came into camp at Davie and said, "Look, I'm spilling the beans on all these dudes." So I want to know if it was you who we have to thank for this story that has lived in Fish Tank infamy for all these years.
Oh, my God, man. You know, because, in the locker room, we all talk about, kissing ass and going up there and all that shit. So I was going down 595, minding my business, on an off day. And here comes, and I look over and I say, "Man, that's Mike with the top down." I was like, "Oh, shit, that's Zach and Izzo with 40 ounces. I was like, "Oh, shit, they partying." So Zach and Izzo, they had a look on their face like, "Oh, it's cool, but now he's going to kill us tomorrow."
Oh, so they saw that you saw them. They knew right away. Did they have their shirts off? Did they really have their damn shirts off?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. And, they were rookies. And so, I didn't give them the business that bad. But I did let the story out.
Well, thank you.
The story had to be told.
I'm so glad that you did. And did Westhoff have his shirt off as well?
No.
Okay. Because that would have been the best if the three of them had their shirts off.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know Mike had a damn drop-top Buick. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about him.
Special, man. Hey,
learned a lot about dudes.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stories like that, man, as we go along today, man. But I want to dial it back a little bit, way back a little bit. Mm. Actually, back to, before you made it to the league. We talked a little bit about this, but you played your college ball at Texas A&M with the guy fans are very familiar with, a guy by the name of Richmond Webb, the great Richmond Webb. Now, we know how dominant Webb he was, once he stepped foot in Miami. But tell us about Richmond Webb, the Aggie.
Same thing, man. Richmond Webb, the Aggie, was left tap. He started out at guard. And then they moved him to left tackle his junior, senior year. And same thing, man. I remember we played Andre Ware when he won the Heisman.
Houston.
And the score was 7-7. And we put this play in, tackle trap. It's where I lined up split back. I was split back to the right. And Webb would come down and trap the middle linebacker. And now I'll tell you, that play worked to perfection in that game. And I went for 41 yards and touchdowns.
Damn, it really worked.
Yeah, it did. But I talked to him yesterday, man. This is the story that nobody knows about Webb. When I signed with the Dolphins, I lived with Webb. I was at the fucking Rolling Hills. He's like, oh man, come on, bro.
Nice.
He's like, "Man, come on, man. You just stay at my house," and so I was very grateful for him for that. And so that's the type of guy he is, you know what I mean? And so fucking funny, every time I see Higgy, Higgy sold me out, man.
Sold y'all out.
Hey, man, Higgy, so I signed with the Dolphins. And so I come for the first day of practice. And I had been in Houston smoking and drinking for 2 weeks, you know, after I got cut from the Cowboys, right? I'm in Houston smoking and drinking, and I'm getting ready to go to, you know, so Kevin Smith, Pup is my, now he's my brother-in-law, but he was my college roommate.
Oh, wow.
I married one of his twin sisters. But we were getting ready, so they were playing Philadelphia on Monday night. So I flew back to Dallas to hang out. As I'm coming downstairs, my agent called me. I'm dressed. I'm ready. I got my cologne and shit on. He said, hey, don't party too hard. You got a flight to Miami in the morning. I was like, oh, shit. So I get there, fast forward, get to the first practice. I'm the only scout team fullback, right? Fucking Hook Higgy wouldn't take rip. And this Higgy. Nah, you got that dial. Yeah. That's all you dial. I'm motherfucker. Man, so when I went to Webb's, I cramped up in the car on the way home. Webb had to pull over in the gas station, give me some Gatorade and stuff. But I give Higgy the business about that every time I see him, man.
Like, nah, I love it. Nah, dog.
I'm going to go back to A&M, though, and Webb really quick, because I love that you talked about that play that worked to perfection. You know, Richmond's a semifinalist again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, second time in a row, long overdue in all of our opinions. But one of the, I guess, criticisms, if you can give a criticism to a guy who went to 7 straight Pro Bowls, one of the things that maybe has held him back thus far as to being in the Hall of Fame is when people say he was only a pass blocker. And he's like, before I got to Miami, we didn't even throw the ball at A&M. Like, right. All we did was run the ball, and we ran the option and everything else. And so he's like, go put on the film. I just got to a place where the offense was built around the arm of that guy behind me. And so my job shifted and I did it to the best of my ability. Okay. So you talk about what kind of a run blocker he was in college.
Okay. So I'll just give you a stat. My sophomore year at A&M, which was 1989, we rushed for 300 yards for the season. That means every game we played, we rushed for 300 yards.
Oh, damn. Every,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's enough said.
Yeah. And I'm sure you ran over that left side a lot. I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And we had guys like Matt McCall, Mike Arthur. Our line was back then was over 300 average, you know,
big fellas.
Yeah, man. And seeing that back then we had those great defenses. So our game plan was to keep it close, and we just wear people down with the run, you know, in the end. You know what I wish? So I wish not to fast forward back to the Dolphins, but I asked Jimmy, man, before the open mic, I mean, the hot mics came out in the NFL.
Yeah.
I asked him, man. I said, because I was cool with those two brothers, the guys that did the film for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, the Hack Brothers.
The little twins or whatever.
They weren't necessarily twins, but
they're yeah, brothers. But yeah, they're brothers. But so I
close
asked
enough.
Him, I said, man, can you mic me up for a game? Because I wanted to have that to pass on to my kids. You know, everything that I'm saying and going through during the game.
Right.
And by that time, Jimmy had landed, and I asked Jimmy, you know, and I found this out working at working at the Houstonian Golf and Country Club, that sometimes, and I'm sure you guys went through with this with the Dolphins, is asking permission is seeking denial.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Jimmy said no to it. Mm. But if I had known then what I know now, I would have did it myself.
Right.
What are you going to put a little tape recorder in there?
Hell yeah.
A little Walkman or something?
Something, man. Something to record, because people don't see, like Juice knows, the meetings. Gary Stevens ass, man, this motherfucker. We counted. We kept stats. So we did, now I'm passing back to the Dolphins. We did 25 plays a team, right? And you can add this up. 25 plays a team, right? Gary, on average, as running backs, we didn't have shit else to do because it was all pass game, but count. So 25 plays a team. On average, Gary Stevens ran every playback 14 times.
Damn.
It's a long-ass meeting.
Run that back.
Run that back.
Then, guess what happens at the end of all of that? Shula wakes up.
That's right.
Shula wakes up, and he's like, what was that? Run that back. And he's like,
you got to do it again.
The last play, he's like, no,
now the whole thing.
Run everything back. What the fuck? So we would start, me and the running backs, and we would start dropping our keys and shit like, hey, man, we got to go home. You know, drop the keys.
Trying to wake them up earlier? Is that what you're saying?
No. Just like, hey, man.
Oh, they're just letting them know. It's like about this day.
you know, Seth, it's so funny that, you know, that Bull talks about meetings and Shula falling asleep in meetings, man, because, you know, we did a little bit of digging ourselves about Bull's college experience. You know, and we heard that as a freshman, you might have had a little bit of a challenge staying awake in offensive meetings. I mean, apparently, I mean, is that true, Bull? Did you have a problem as well as a freshman in college?
Not in college. I had a problem in pros, man.
I don't know, man. That's not what our intel tells us.
I think when I look back on it, it was it's something, it's like a diagnosis that I had no cure about. I mean, I had no. I didn't know.
They call it gin and tonic. They call it gin and tonic, Bull. That's the diagnosis, man. That's a medical thing.
Well, when I was in Miami, they called it weed.
That was the diagnosis?
They called it the good Miami weed, you know.
I know that's right, boy.
Hey,
man, it was always tough. You talk about it, man. Seth, all seriousness, man, NFL meetings might be the toughest things to sit through, bro, especially when you got a situation like Bull's talking about, man. You're watching the same plays over and over go every single day, and then, unfortunately, Coach Shula did nod off sometimes and want us to run the whole tape back. You hope that he wakes up around play 5. But if he wakes up around play 20, now you got to run all 20 back. Now, 5 ain't bad compared to running all 20 back. You know what I mean?
But then... So not only that, they would run the plays back. Once we got that done with that, guess what Juice and Dan would do? Juice, Dan, what's the tight end from Oklahoma?
Keith Jackson,
and all that shit every time. So you know everybody wanted the ball on that team.
Sure,
Keith Byers, Keith Jackson, fucking Juice, and everybody they wanted the ball. So Gary would be like, hey, what should we run right here? And every time he said that, Keith Jackson would be like, why option? Why option? You know,
that's what I see.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Can't go wrong there.
Too good.
But wait. So now, after all of that, guess what you got to do now? Dan's going to stand his ass up and do hand signals for 45 minutes. My God, I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, this motherfucker's like, what is this? Feeling out, okay, well, what is this? A plant. I'm like, bro.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, I'm God. Like, oh, Lord.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. My ass was paying attention. Only way you play is if you know what the hell you're doing out there with Danny, because you're not going to get him hit. That's in the backfield, boo. You got some type of protection. You mess that up, boy, you won't get your ass on the field no more. If you run the wrong route and Danny expects you to zig and you zag, man, you got it, man. Those hand signals were critical, man.
You know, we had Irving Fryer on when we did Fish Tank Iconic, and he talked about, right, the famous 4th and 5. This was a year before Bull got there, but the famous 4th and 5 and the 5 fingers up, and that was, you know, nobody else in the stadium knew that Irv was going to run that play and the whole thing, and it's legendary. It's iconic. We did a documentary about it. And Bull's over here like, they need to get this shit over with. He's dropping his keys on the floor so he can
He's got places to be. That shit was brutal, man.
All right. I want to dial back a little bit. Before you arrived in Miami, you were a third-round draft choice by Tampa in 91, right? You know, right. Out of A&M. You carried the ball a lot at A&M.
82nd pick overall.
There you go.
12 rounds.
There you go, right? And so third-round pick. I mean, that's a high draft choice. Yeah. There's a draft choice where there's expectations placed upon you. And then you get significant playing time as a rookie with the Bucks.
I started 15 games as a rookie, you know, but we had a coach that nobody still knows. Well, I found one person that knows this guy.
Yeah.
His name was Richard Williamson.
Okay. Well, doesn't quite have the credentials as some of the other coaches that you played for in your career. But
that's where this comes in. Because it's like Juice knows this. If you get drafted by a coach that always have a job, you'll always have a job.
Hmm.
Juice can tell you, when Jimmy came to Miami, the fucking Dolphins turned into the University of Miami.
Yeah, it did. It did.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he was trying to get rid of my ass. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
At least 20 guys on that fucking team.
You'd have a U. So you
from Miami. Or Dallas, right? Drafted, one of those two places.
Then he drafted Dallas that receiver.
You. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Then he drafted that receiver, number one.
Util Green.
Util.
Util Green. Yep. He got hurt or whatever and whatnot, but, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But now, if y'all want to fast forward, so no, we got to
go. Here's the question is you have this productive year, your third round choice, you have a productive year in 91, and the next time you're on an NFL roster is 1994, and you're in Dallas and Barry Switzer. I know you went to camp with Green Bay the year before.
Had a cup of coffee with Green Bay.
What happened between 91 a productive season as a third round pick? Because usually if you draft guys who get drafted in the top three rounds and especially if they play, they're going to get another year or two just out of the fact that they've gotten, you know, the team is invested in them. Yeah. So what happens between 91 and 94 before you get to Dallas?
Well,
read the book.
No. Well, you can, but the coach that came in was
Sam Weish?
Sam Weish came in, and Juice knows the politics of that. When they come in, they're bringing all their people with them.
They are.
Yeah, so he brought all the people that he won the fucking Super Bowl with in 88. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think he won, right? They just went to the Super Bowl.
No, they won.
When he's at Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati won.
No, they didn't win one. Cincinnati
they lost to San Francisco.
They went.
Yeah, they went. Cincinnati never won one.
Yeah,
well, he Joe brought Montana that running back. But you know what? I liked his coaching style. So the two coaches that cut me, Jimmy and this guy, I loved their coaching style. You know what I mean? You couldn't knock that. Right. You know, but it just wasn't a good fit.
Hmm.
But that's when Richard Williamson's, so my rookie year, so this is where the book came in. I was blocking for Reggie Cobb. Right?
Okay.
Blocking for Reggie Cobb. Me and Reggie Cobb, best friends, bro. Lived together in the offseason, trained together, everything. RIP, by the way. But so fast forward, last game of the season, my rookie year, we fly into Chicago, December. I'll never forget this day. December 22nd. Cobb has 971 yards in his contract. Because it was, you know, back then contracts were incentive laden. You know, you get this many yards, you get this much playing time, that kind of shit. So Cobb had 971 yards. His contract stipulated that if he gets 1,000 yards, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
He gets to leave shitty ass Tampa. So we go in the game, fast forward. First play of the game, delayed draw to Cobb, 9 yards. By the way, it's cold. This is cold as I ever been in my life in that game. I went outside the pregame and ran 5 100-yard sprints and felt nothing. I went back in the fucking locker room. Like, fuck this shit. It's cold out here. So now Cobb's at 9. He got 9 yards on a delayed draw. So he's at 990. Right? Oh, so everybody, you know, and I heard you said Pop's getting his 1,000. I get back in the huddle. Gary Anderson is in the huddle. I said, gee, where's Cobb? He said, I don't know. I said, is he hurt? I don't think so. Ready, break. They never put him back in the game, bro.
Wow. Oh, dirty, 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 dirty.
Super fucking filthy, bro. So now it's twofold. Now Cobb doesn't get his 1,000 yards. I'm not blocking for 1,000 yards. I'm not a fullback, rookie fullback, right, blocking for 1,000-yard rusher. Because right, every team back then wanted that 1,000-yard rusher.
Right.
And so, you know, we got into it with the new coach, and he called and cursed us up. I'm trying to build something. He got my two fucking starting backfields in fucking Houston holding out. He's like, fuck you, man. Well, you didn't do it, but I mean, you know? So. Right. So, but I like coaches that love smart players.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's how him and Jimmy were.
Yeah.
And he put, like, if you knew the game, you could make adjustments during the game. Yeah. Even me as a fullback.
Right.
It was that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I got cut from Tampa, so Quentin Corriott was the second pick of the draft. Another one of my roommates for Indianapolis. I went and lived with him because I didn't want to go back to Houston with the smoking and drinking. I went and lived with him, and I was working out, you know, the old Gold's Gym workout or whatever.
Right.
I worked out for Indy. They loved me. You know, I worked out for Indianapolis. They loved me. So that off season, this is crazy. So, me, Quentin, Corriott, Kevin Smith for the Cowboys, we're all best friends from college.
Yeah, that roster's stacked.
Yeah, so I'm in Dallas hanging out with Kevin, and it's off season, and it's Friday. This Monday, the coming Monday, I'm supposed to sign with Indianapolis. I got a contract on the table. Kevin Smith comes home. He's over. He worked his magic with the Cowboys. He comes home and tells me, hey, man, they got a locker with your name in it. I was like, what? At the Cowboys? He said, yeah. I said, bullshit, let's go see it. He took me over there, fam. I had a fucking locker, bro. They signed me without even telling me.
Oh, you know wow. What I'm saying? Damn. Yeah. Who was your agent?
Zucker, Jim Zucker.
Yeah, he didn't give you a call.
About some forgery.
Right, right.
You couldn't docu-sign back then either, Big Seth. I don't know what the...
No.
It was all Kevin's doing. You know, he's like, hey, man, I know this guy can play. He's my roommate, blah, blah, blah. Y'all give him a shot.
I know that's right.
So, yeah, so I thought about it. So the politics were kicking in my mind. So I was like, well, if I get screwed again, I'm going to be in Texas. So I signed with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
In 1994.
Makes sense.
Made the team. And then during that season, Shontae Carver, the first round pick, flipped his truck on the highway, and Eric Williams ran his car into the toll road same night.
Mm.
So now, for the backup fullback, now all of a sudden, I'm caught up in the numbers game because they got to bring in two tackles for Eric, and two ends for Shontae Carver. So I get cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when the 2 weeks was smoking and drinking came, and I went home and came back, and then that's in 94, that's when I ended up in Miami.
What if going bankrupt was the best thing that happened to you? Whether it's your wages being garnished, car repossessed, house foreclosed, or you're suffocating with debt, a good bankruptcy attorney can give you peace of mind that you need and deserve. My name is Chad Van Horn from Van Horn Law Group, and I've personally seen people thrive after filing for bankruptcy. The shame of bankruptcy is just a ploy to keep you in debt forever. There is no shame to work with Van Horn Law Group to get rid of your debt for good. If you're ready to get your life back, call us today. Se habla Espanol.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Bull. Let's talk about that, because midway through that season in 94, you know, you do come down to Miami. And just like me, really, you were major impact on special teams. And also, just like me, we also had the pleasure of participating in the infamous Mike Westhoff-led meetings, man. I mean, you talked about Mike a little bit earlier with Zach and Izzo and the convertible, man. But I know you've got some more good stuff about Mike Westhoff you can tell us.
Oh, yeah, Mike Westhoff with the red dot, man. you did not want to, you didn't want to mess up in practice,
right?
Let alone the game. Michael be, you know, he'll have the red dot on you, and he'd be like, "Look, if you do this in the game, don't come to our fucking sideline." Obviously, you're playing for the fucking other team. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you're playing for the other team. But he was a special teams coach, man. Yes, the shit was that he came up with, you know, and so it was so crazy that I was now they talking about me as the snitch or and all that shit, because I would go up in Mike's office during off.
Don't go upstairs, boo. You know about going upstairs.
You in that back seat, boo? Are you sitting there with your shirt off, man?
He said he wasn't riding shotgun, Big Seth. He talking about Larry and Zach. He might have been riding shotgun while those two were in the back seat.
Yeah, man. So I'm telling you, man. So it was a hell of a ride with Mike, bro. But then here comes your boy.
So let's get to that. So
wait. So I got one other story to tell. Juice can back me up on this one. Gene Atkins.
Oh.
Gene Atkins signed $2.8 million contract. Somebody anonymously did an article with Jason
Cole.
What's that guy? Jason Cole. And said Gene wasn't worth that. So we get in the meeting, team meeting the next morning. Coach Shula's up there. He's like, "Okay, guys, we're going to start off with special teams." Boom, boom, boom. Gene stands up with the article in his hand and starts walking from the back of the room down to the front. And he's like, he's holding the article up like, he's like, "There's some bitches in here." He says, "Some bitches in here." And then he's like, "Oh, shit." And then he said, "Some bitches in here. Motherfuckers worried about what I got, my pocket. You know what I'm saying? Worried about my money. Some bitches in here." And then so Dan spun around. He's like, "What happened, Gene?" He's like, "Did you say it, Dan?" I was like, Dan spent right back around. So Gene walked out, right? And man, let me tell you. And so this is not so. Coach Shula, that's why they call him the Don, bro, because that shit never hit the paper. When we walked out of that meeting, we had the Gene was choking Jason Cole in his locker. You don't remember that?
I do.
Oh, yeah. We've had Jason on the show.
We've had the conversation. Yeah. You know exactly what you're talking about.
We had to pull Gene off of him, bro.
Exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Jason's a friend of the program, we try not to relive it.
But, you know, I love Coach Shula, man, because when he signed me, he put me on the active roster. So remember that 94 year, Juice, I was flying around with y'all, not dressing, but I was on the active roster.
Right.
Which meant I was getting all my money from my contract.
Yeah, right you were. Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's Shula's now here comes Jimmy.
Right. So, Bull, let me ask you about this before you get ahead of yourself. 95 was the final year for Coach Shula, maybe the greatest career of a National Football League head coach of all time. Mm-hmm. But in that offseason, Wayne Huizenga makes a change. He brings in Jimmy Johnson, as you just indicated. It's no secret that Jimmy and most coaches, when they come into a new franchise, but particularly a coach like Jimmy, he started to jettison veteran players, wanted a lot of youth on the team for a lot of different reasons. And we started to see that youth movement. Now, again, going back to some great stories that have been told here in the fish tank, and not just here. I mean, I remember it was on the Miami Herald. Armando wrote a big story about it. The whole, we have Marino and Izzo, we need 51 more, right? And it was such a feel-good story that this undrafted kid, let me set you up, Bull. Damn it, let me run my own show, man. Okay, right. that's what I want to know, because I heard you say this on another interview, that, like, we've all heard the fun, feel-good story about Izzo, call your parents, so on and so forth. Uh-huh. But you told a story about how, from your perspective, as a guy who would play special teams, tell me what was, and share it with Juice, tell me what was going through your mind as you're sitting in that meeting room and all that's unfolding.
Okay, well, so the first meeting, with Jimmy and Juice, because, you know, Fred, remember Fred was your receiver buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Fred Banks?
Freddie B.
Fred Barnett. Right? Fred chose to come into Jimmy's first meeting about 5 minutes late. Jimmy said, Fred, the next time you're late for the meeting, stay on the fucking outside of the door. Don't come in. Then Jimmy's got a whiteboard down at the front. Nobody, so it's like, fuck, Shula never did that. You know, what the fuck is a whiteboard for? Man, this motherfucker drew a small house on the whiteboard with one window. And he put a 13 in that bitch. He said, this is the house. Dan is the only one in the house. And he fucking walked out. Like, oh, shit. So me and Izzo play the same position on special team.
Right.
The up back and the guard and all that shit. So first preseason game, Izzo knocks his man down. Goes and knocks somebody else down. And so this is what a lot of people don't know about Jimmy. He puts a hell of a lot of importance on special team. Jimmy runs the special team film. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy used to run the special team film. He saw Izzo do that shit. He stopped the meeting. He said, call your parents. Tell them you're a Miami Dolphin.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck. We play the same position, huh? What am I going to do now? You know what I'm saying? But I love Izzo. Love Zach, you know. But it was just, you know, just a numbers thing. But now the only reason I stayed, the only reason I got 1 year with Jimmy was because I had 23 special teams tackles the year before. So he knew I could do the work.
Right.
But he wasn't willing to pay me that, my salary, as a vested veteran.
Yeah.
I mean,
didn't get two rookies. Split them up.
Price of one. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, those meetings with him, man, were just, he's another guy. Not a lot of people don't know. Jimmy has a degree in psychology.
Yeah.
People don't know that. So he's gonna fuck with your head. He's gonna get inside your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love that about him, you know, because he if you knew what to do, like Drew said, you're gonna play.
Yeah. And Bull, people don't understand too that everybody is in the special teams meetings. Offense, defense, kickers, punters, trainers, training staff, equipment managers, everybody's in that. So when they're going off on you, when you get that red dot, when that red dot hits, like 150 people see that red dot on your head, boy.
Yeah. And they start the day with that shit, and you know, him getting on your ass on that, and you know, that's how you start your day. And that's what I, and then in the book, that's what I tell people. I said, just imagine. You go into your little job, whatever you do, your boss filmed it.
Yep.
Right? And then after work, you go take a fucking shower, and then you're going to go watch your day with your fucking boss.
That's right.
You don't want that. And all of your peers, right?
Yeah. And all your peers,
you don't want that.
Right. So,
do you want that? Yeah. No.
It's so funny you say that.
Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, just because we had Hunter Goodwin on, another A&M guy.
Yeah.
Hunter said his wife would get stressed out because she was a teacher, and once a year the principal would sit in the back of the room while she had the kids, and she would get all stressed out for a week. He goes, do you know that was every fucking day of my life for the last 15 years? Is that I was judged by my boss in front of my peers every day. And every if I made a mistake, they ran it over and over and over again. You could
To do, man. Yeah.
Let's talk about that, man, because while we're into this, Seth, we might as well talk about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, you know, a few years ago, you added the title of author to your resume with the release of your book, Big Hits in Politics, Why the Best Players Don't Always Play. You know, talk about some of the things that inspired you to write the book, and how has the reception of your book been so far?
It's going over really well, man, you know, especially with people who play, and because there's a lot of guys that went through the political side of, you know, even yourself, you know, you had to walk that line, you know, and that's why I did it, to draw the parallel between them seeing you in a Mercedes Benz and, you know, thinking you got the life, but then you get to work and you get that red dot put on your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of why I did it. And it's a lot of fun, man. And then if you get into it, I get all the way into the coaching trees and how that works and how that, you know, like the San Francisco coaching tree, the Belichick coaching tree, like which most of the Belichick coaching tree, except for two people, are garbage right now. Mm. You know, the San Francisco coaching tree, they're doing okay, barely hanging on, you know. And then you still got the Big Tuna coaching tree, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I said, you know, and that's what I said. If you get drafted by Big Tuna, he gets a job, you're going to have work if you can play.
Right.
You know?
Don't get me started. Don't get me started on him.
Yeah, that's Seth's side. See, we don't talk enough about the guys Seth don't like. Y'all ain't talking about the guys I don't like. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Guilty as charged.
So, Bull, we're about to... Go ahead, Ball. Go ahead, Bull.
No, go ahead. I was just Seth, we need to talk about that, man. So and then, like, when I was talking about being recorded, this can tell you that Dan, and I wish I could have got all this stuff, man, because Dan would come off the field and fucking curse Gary out. He's like, Gary, this run shit is not working. Put me in the gun and let me go to work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can you imagine Dan starting out in the gun with all the shit that he did, right, coming back from getting in the gun?
Right. Right.
If we started out with Juice and Fred and all those guys, Big Eric Green, we should have started out in the gun.
In gun, yeah, right away. Fucking, you know what I mean?
DK, coming out the back.
I love a good Gary Stevens, right, story.
Yeah.
Because they all seem to go the same way.
Yep.
But you know, now, and you know, I don't know how this goes over, but for me personally, that's 17 years of Dan's career. He was the offensive coordinator, bro.
Yeah.
Come on. You can't get one other person to come in with some plays or just say, hey, fuck it, Dan, we're going gun. You know, let's just go, bro. We're going on your arm, shit, you know. So I don't know.
Oh, boo, man. So yeah, what could have been with us, man? It's fucking crazy, bro. It really is.
Oh yeah,
man. What should have been, not could have been, what should have been with us is a better.
Well, yeah, we're 4-0.
Yeah,
and juicing them over there. I ain't got a goddamn ball yet.
Not juice.
Now juice didn't really do that. Juice kept. Yeah.
Thanks, boo.
We're 4-0, bro.
I know. Yeah, people were bitching and moaning, man. That 94 team, I think, had 19 first-round picks on it, Big Seth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Chuba set that team up. Like, so, you know, Keith Byers bitching and moaning, tight ends bitching and moaning, everybody. Oh, and Urban Fryer, he's got to have 5 balls before halftime. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you put them personalities together, man. That's what happened, man. First round, you know, first round is a bunch of divas, bull. They're a bunch of damn divas, man.
But you know what? But you know what people don't understand? And now this is the something that Gary Stevens said, and I was like, oh, it made me think. He's like, what's all that shit? He's like, I want people that want the fucking ball. Cause when you get your shot, you're gonna make the play.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fine line, right? It's a fine line between you want, just like you hear about Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or whoever, that you want the guy who wants the rock in his hands with 3 seconds to go and you're down by 2. Like, you want that guy, but at the same time, you don't want that guy to be that to the detriment of kind of the overall goal. So that's the fine line.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I'll let the receiver talk.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I don't know.
At least I will.
So. Not to go back to this, you know, because this is a thing, but I brought some hot brownies on the plane one time.
Now, that's interesting.
Hot, yeah. Not because they were in the microwave?
No.
They were hot. Oh, hot.
And then, so I baked them up and I put the weed in the butter and brought him on the plane and shit. I think we lost that game.
So. Yeah, maybe. Sure we did. We probably slept through the whole game. Right
now. No. I passed him out on the way back.
Oh, okay.
I gave Eguays one. And then when I was getting off the plane, I said, Eguays, how you feel? I said, you should feel pretty good. He said, I knew it.
Right.
So you didn't tell people. You just gave these out like mama them, cooked some oh, my God, bull.
Right.
Hey, bro. I just went for it.
Clearly.
Clearly. Oh, my God. That's so funny, man. Hey, I didn't get one.
No. I wouldn't give him.
You know I went. You know I didn't roll it. You know I didn't go that route.
Right. Just say, hey, now look.
You so square ass. I'm a square.
This is a story. Talking about square. When Troy was there with me, Troy asked me for a ride home one day. I was like, oh yeah, man, you live right down the street. Troy got in my car.
Oh, boy.
Soon as he got in that bitch, I lit up. So he's quiet on the ride home. So I saw him in the locker room the next day. I said, Troy, you good, bro? He said, man, what the fuck, man? He's like, I went home and drank a gallon of milk.
Was Troy Drayton? Which Troy? Troy Drayton?
No. Troy, the cornerback.
Vincent. Troy Vincent.
Troy Vincent.
Okay.
Yeah, man, he was fucked God. Up. He caught contact, bro.
Contact.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, man. All right, well, we're going to let you get out of here, man, real quick. But before we wrap things up, man, we always like to, you know, we got a couple of fun things we do at the end of every episode. The first is which we call Fish Tank Numerology. Now, you wore number 20 at A&M and at Tampa, and by the time you got to Miami, you rocked 49 in your jersey. What's the story behind your numbers?
20 was all the way back to high school. I couldn't wear 20 my freshman year at A&M. I wore 32 because a senior had 20. Tony Gump, RIP, he passed through. You know, they put us with seniors on the road, teach us the rope, teach us the way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At A&M, so he was my guy, and he had 20, so I had to wear 32, which goes back to the original juice.
You know it.
Because I don't know if y'all know this, but I was born in Germany.
I did read that.
Yeah, I was born in Germany, and the only games that I would see was Buffalo over there. We had like two channels.
Buffalo, huh?
Yeah, so I would see the juice. That was my favorite player. So I got.
If you think of that time period, that was America sticking their middle finger up to Germany by sending them Bills games. That's
right.
What that was.
Right. Right. Fucking Bills.
Yeah. So I had 32 and 20 in high school, 32 my freshman year. Then I got 20 back. And then when I went to Dallas, I had 42. So my last 2 years, it was just garbage numbers, you know,
right.
42, 49. You know,
that's why he gave Tony the damn brownies, dude.
You know,
give me this bullshit 49.
But then, you know, I did have 20 right before Jimmy cut me. I got 20 back, you know. But this is what people don't understand. If you don't retire in the city where you play, it's hard to get shit going, bro.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's where your name is. And we talk about that from a marketing perspective with guys. Like, you're a former Dolphin. You have an – now, look, Juice had – I'm not doing what you think I normally do, Juice. But Juice had this amazing career here, led the league in receptions, two-time team MVP. So he's going to be beloved whether he lived here, whether he moved back to Cleveland or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys have been able to build businesses and maximize opportunities because they're always former Miami Dolphins, even here locally, you know. So, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense when you're saying
that, for sure.
All right, one last segment here, Bull, and then we will let you get back into writing your second book or whatever you got planned for the rest of the day. This final segment is called the Fish Tank 2-Minute Drill. Now, I know as a bruising fullback, I don't know how many 2-minute drills you were in the NFL, but I believe you can get it figured out as an old school vet. We're putting 2 minutes up on the clock. We've got a few fast-paced questions. We're going to throw them at you, and we'll see if you can take this thing across the end zone. Sound good?
Got it.
All right, Juice, boy, you ready?
You're up.
All right. You played with three Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Brett Favre, Troy Aikman, and, of course, Dan Marino here in Miami. Rate them 1 to 3, one being the best.
Dan, Aikman, Favre.
Okay, why?
Well, Dan did more with less. Aikman had all the tools, you know, he had all the tools and, you know, the line, the wall, and all of that stuff. And then Favre was just a gunslinger, man, you know.
That'll work. All right, moving on to those are quarterbacks. We're going to move on to coaches. You've been around some legendary coaches, obviously not the one that was your first in Tampa. If you've been around some legendary coaches in your journey, from Shula to Jimmy, Barry Switzer, Mike Holmgren, you even mentioned Sam Weish at one point in Tampa, which of them would most likely pick up a copy of Big Hits in Politics and read it cover to cover?
Switzer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Switzer.
Barry right. Switzer, there it is.
All right. Switzer told us, on rookie night, real quick, on rookie night, Switzer told us, this is the kind of guy he was. Switzer told us on rookie night in Dallas, he's like, look, is nobody going to be more drunk than I am tonight?
I love that.
You motherfuckers, you guys got money, get a limo. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yep. All right. You once appeared on a podcast with Houston rap legends, the Ghetto Boys, right?
Yes.
What's your favorite Ghetto Boys song?
The Hand of the Dead Body.
Mm. Give me a bar.
It's so funny because there's people doing TikTok, and it's about, you know, like they kill a rat in their house, and they slide up on the floor by the icebox, and they say, you kind of feel your body, but you're still strong.
Right.
Too good. Too good.
Your heart is beeping fast, and your pulse is low.
Yeah.
Just relax, Daddy.
Ghetto Boys. They got a lot of beef going on there, right? They got a Willie D. And
I think they let that go, man.
Okay, good.
I was glad that I was able to do that while they were together, though.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And Bushwick he wasn't on the show, but he was still alive at that point, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, got it. Cool. All right, we kicked this thing off with a shirtless Izzo and Zach Thomas. If you had been riding shotgun, which OJ's not convinced that you weren't, but if you had been riding shotgun in that convertible, West off at the wheel, the other three guys ripped their shirt off. Does Robert Bull Wilson take his shirt off as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There it is. That's the 2-minute drill. I think that's a touchdown, Juice.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Oh, man. Too good. Too
Gotta
good. Well, this was a long time coming, man. Yeah, we're sorry was, that man. You had to wait, man. But we appreciate that you came in here and delivered the way we expected you to.
Man. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And hopefully y'all have me back.
Yes, sir. So that's good, right, man. That was great, Bull, man. That was great, man. Finally, Seth. Now that we can do our own damn thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. No doubt about
and,
it.
And tell all the fellas I said hello, man. Droy and Jason Taylor and all those guys. Tell them I said hello. And
I definitely will. A lot of them listen to the show. Zach listens to every episode. He can't wait for this one. JT, especially when he's recruiting, he listens to a bunch of this stuff. A lot of guys listen to the show. So you just told him, which is great. But I've already been texting people. I texted Tony Eguis about the about the brownies. He said, this is a quote, "Those fuckers nearly killed me. I ate 5 of them bitches." He said, you know, he loves sweets too, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you man.
What he played.
Too good.
Well, boy, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, boss, man.
All right, man. No problem, bro. Anytime.
We'll let you know. Seth, go ahead. I mean, oh, we didn't tag off.
That's you.
Thanks for diving in, Bull.
Yeah, Juicy, that's you, bro.
I know. Seth usually sets it up. They tease it up for me, though.
I did, but we went past it. So yeah, I thought you were about, hey, Bull, and I was like, fuck, where it is? We only did 220 of these things.
Fuck it, I'll do it. You know, so what platform we got on, you guys?
Apple, Spotify, YouTube, you name it.
YouTube, Instagram. I was going to your Instagram before the show, you know, so. Yeah, get your shit together, dude.
Well, thanks for diving in, Bull.
Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank.